Hi, welcome to another edition of the PhysDep podcast. My name is Dave Page, and I'm here with
Josh Salzman, Director of Critical Care Research Center at Regents Hospital in St. Paul.
Dr. Keith Wesley, I'm the Medical Director for Health East Medical Transportation in St. Paul.
And Marshall Washick, paramedic with Health East Medical Transportation in St. Paul.
And we have the pleasure of reviewing a pre-hospital emergency care journal article for 2012, released early online. It's July 25th, 2012. Ondansetron oral dissolving tablets, ODTs, are superior to normal saline alone for pre-hospital nausea. It was done by Dr. Fullerton, Dr. Weiss, Dr. Frohman, and I particularly love seeing EMTs and paramedics here. Scott Oglesby gets a big kudos for being involved in research as he is an EMS clinician. And it's out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, an interesting kind of comparison here, a pre and post model where they had patients give a sense with a visual analog scale on a Likert scale about how nauseated they were. And then they initially, on the first group, gave them saline, and on the second group, gave them an ODT, a tablet, an ondansetron tablet, to see if that reduced their nausea. 274 transports in phase one, 372 transports in phase two, and they had pretty similar age groups, pretty similar cohort of patients. Their conclusion is that there was no improvement in patient nausea related to quantity of saline alone, but the addition of ondansetron resulted in a significant improvement in the degree of nausea. So a big thumbs up to ondansetron for nausea and a sort of endorsement for that particular therapy, and that IV fluids really didn't make that big of a difference. So let's open it up for commentary.
Well,
go easy now. I like this study. Okay?
So I had in the introduction, I had a tough time getting beyond the first paragraph. So I've recently had the pleasure of taking an ethics and research class and started thinking about this from
We're going to get all holier than thou.
No, liar. Absolutely not.
High and mighty.
Absolutely not. But I have a problem with this
now
study.
Now he's getting mad, though.
Yeah, he's defensive, too.
Well, I have a problem with the study from an ethical perspective. And there, I want to reference one document. It's called the Nuremberg Code, Directives for Human Experimentation.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's valuable. So listen. So this is the second point. The experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results for the good of society, unprocurable by other methods or means of study, and not random and unnecessary in nature. Following me?
No. It's just completely necessary. We need to figure out if ondansetron works or not.
No, because I think let's read the first paragraph of the introduction. The management of nausea and vomiting includes the use of fluids and antiemetic drugs. I think we're all in agreement with that.
We don't know if this antiemetic drug works in the pre-hospital arena.
Just that term generically, I think we all agree with it. Antiemetics have been shown to be effective in several hospital settings, but few studies have been done in the pre-hospital environment. Okay. So what?
Some
placebo-based studies suggest that normal saline alone is as efficacious as medications for nausea relief. However, all the references that they're talking about is administration of fluids intraoperatively for postoperative nausea, not for walk in the ED, I'm puking from GI bug nausea. Kind of a different group of patients than I think that this paper is addressing.
So, see the problem?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Let me
get to my next point then.
Okay.
All right, point four, the Nuremberg Code. The experiment should be so conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. Now, I don't know about
your point
you,
that they were torturing people because they were getting saline and no
absolutely
Zofran?
Not. But if you look at the results, though, normal saline didn't do anything. Right. And I don't know about you, but to me, I don't really enjoy puking.
Well,
and I could make the argument that that's suffering, like that's undue suffering, making somebody go through that. If you already
man, okay. Do you know how many ambulance services across the country don't even carry Zofran or any antiemetic?
Yeah. I think the study may have taken advantage of a change in protocol and not necessarily withheld a treatment.
Okay, but if you go look at New Mexico State protocol, okay, in 2008 they have Phenergan as their standard of care, right? But Phenergan was pulled off the market due to some problems. Well, the standard of care then for New Mexico should be the administration of an antiemetic, not normal saline administration.
Is their state regulated to the point of selection of medication or class so you can deliver any antiemetic within their state protocol?
That's a good question. It'd be interesting to speak with to talk with people in New Mexico and see, because that there clearly seemed to be okay, Phenergan, we got to get rid of Phenergan,
right?
And I can envision the academic exercise going on at the state by the Physician Advisory Committee, if they have one, going okay, well, we get rid of this drug, and we know other drugs have problems, Compazine, dystonic reactions, what should we do? Mm-hmm. Back in 2009, Zofran, was it generic?
Yeah, we used it.
So it was
we've used it here.
Was it generic then at that time? Cost is a question.
Are they mandated by state?
I don't think in 2009 the ODTs were generic.
No.
So that was, this concept was different. Okay, saline, which is cheap, versus the ODTs, which were expensive. Now I think they're generic now. Mm-hmm. So I can see and I hear where you're going. I can't imagine those physicians possibly sitting there going, should we increase our patient's suffering to determine whether or not this is right? But I will agree with you on the first point from the list, and that is this study going to substantially improve the body of knowledge? Because if you really want, this says the administration of an antiemetic was better than saline. Well, this isn't even a placebo study. Let's have an IV.
That would have been a stronger
study. They all got IVs. And then let's give them sham ODTs versus real ODTs.
Yeah.
Because the mere fact that, I think you could get the very same results of this study by doing non-rebreather high-flow O2. Put O2 on a patient with nausea and vomiting with their IVs, and I'll bet you get the same level of decrease in nausea.
Possibly, but until we do that study, we don't really know. And so the fact that they were bold enough, I think, in a couple of ways. One is that I don't know a lot of ambulance services that give ODTs. They give IV or IM shots. And so
I wondered, why didn't they have another arm study of IV Zofran?
And maybe they did, and they haven't published it yet. They were just doing the first two steps, publishing that, and maybe they are going to look at oral tablets versus IV. This would compel me to ask a medical director, why are you having people, give a shot if in fact they can get an oral dissolving tablet? And in most cases that might work. Maybe the ones that are throwing up are just throwing up and they'll throw up most of the medicine, but I don't know.
I can speculate from a billing perspective. An ALS service that doesn't start an IV and gives an ODT isn't going to be able to charge an ALS one feed it to Medicare.
Here we go finances are finances. Interesting.
You get billed.
To be rehydrated though, regardless.
And they both did. In both groups, yes. The saline only, they averaged. What was interesting, they had 30-minute transport times, and the patients only got 250 cc's of fluid.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty small needles or pretty small drips.
If you walk into the ER and you're really puking your guts up, and they hang a liter on you, I mean, you're shivering and wanting a blanket because it's gone in so fast because it got you cold. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to hydrate somebody up, if you really want to check the you know, make them feel better, I think it's you know, aggressive fluid resuscitation, not 250 cc's over half an hour. That's a you know, that's a can of pop.
I think that was that would have my, one of my commentaries is the references that they used in relation to the fluid resuscitation for the OR folks, and they never really compared the amounts that those people were getting versus what they were delivering in the pre-hospital setting. So is that enough fluid really to have an effect on a patient who, where saline may have some effect?
Yeah, because yeah, you could almost say that the ODT was better than nothing at all.
Yeah.
The other thing that concerns me, though, is they didn't have any control over the dose of the ODT.
Right.
They could either give 4 or 8.
Four
and actually,
eight.
the majority of patients got 8 milligrams,
yeah.
And it was left up to the paramedics to determine based upon the severity. So
the more severe the patients complained
mm-hmm. of nausea, the higher dose they got. Mm-hmm. What was also interesting was that to get their numbers for the study, it took 6 months of the saline only in the end of 2009-2010. They were able to reach their end with a patient complaining of nausea within 4 months of 2010. It was like all of a sudden they had more patients complaining of nausea.
or they had more providers actually completing the form.
I suspect that. And they mentioned that in their limitations, that they believe they referred to them as the paramedics being more assiduous to recognizing that their patients were nauseated and needed to be treated. Yeah. And not without surprise, patients with more severe nausea had greater relief, you know, duh. But, you know, again, it comes back to the question. Hats off, you know, the docs in New Mexico, you've proven that ODTs work. Is that the best way to treat nausea and vomiting? I'm not sure. There's been some discussions now regarding Zofran that we need to really avoid high dose. You know, is 8 milligrams too high? A lot of people are, you know, I've seen protocols out there of 12, 24, 32 milligrams, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Over the course of an hour, and there's data supporting that might, again, you know, the big boogie bear of QT prolongation.
Yeah,
and all that.
They have one report here of PSVT that Salvucci actually did in his paper, so it's not their paper, but they didn't have a lot of patients.
8 milligram IV dose and repeat every 15 minutes, and so you could get a pretty big, hefty dose of Zofran. Mm-hmm. So maybe from another perspective, part of this, you know, Marshall, may be that to avoid the potential of IV complications, maybe 4 to 8 milligrams ODT is the way to go.
Yeah.
With aggressive fluid resuscitation in combination. So,
I think it's still important to keep in mind that given the limitations, the results are still fairly strong. Mm-hmm. So although, you know, with any paper and everyone here in the room has published, your paper's never perfect and your study's never perfect. But I think given the level of change that they were able to achieve in nausea scores from those patients is a pretty fair indicator that the ondansetron is doing something. So then it becomes an operational question of whether you implement that within your system and if you use the oral dissolving tablets or not. But I think it's fair to say that there's something going on here that's positive for patients.
And I'm not saying that there isn't anything.
Oh, don't back off now.
I'm not saying that there isn't anything positive that came out of the study.
But
that's just an argument saying that the means justifies the ends. And I just don't think that's the case. I think that there are other methods that could have been used to come to the same conclusion.
Interesting.
In this case,
how would you have done it differently that you would have proven that it's?
I would have compared. We know that antiemetics work. I mean,
so just compare two antiemetics.
Absolutely.
Which two? I mean, Phenergan is sort of out the door.
Well, they had the opportunity to do the, you know, again, but now you have the issue of pre-hospital informed consent, but to truly define this, they could have done a double-blind controlled trial. So yeah, and yeah, they can I guess so. You know, either sham ODTs or IV Zofran with or IV saline, you know, 5 cc's of placebo, you know, and you know, I think that under rigorous IRB approval, I think you could get that done because we're not talking about a drug that's known to have significant life-threatening complications, and that not administering it is not going to be directly harmful, except from your psychosocial welfare perspective.
You know, I think we can't have you take any more classes.
Yeah, you've got to be done with the problem.
You can't get smart here.
Okay. But again, I would like to point out the level of practicality. So if you look at the paper title, there was no funding for this. It was something that this group of investigators did undertake on their own. And I think, you know, we forget that it takes a lot of time, effort, and coordination when you don't have any funding to make something like this work. So hats off to them for making the attempt and doing it in a way that worked well within their system, took advantage of some changes that were going on, and still had good results for patients in the end.
Yeah. I guess my last question is in the introduction, in the beginning of the third paragraph, their sentences, it is still unclear whether antiemetic medications are better than normal saline fluid boluses alone in the pre-hospital setting. So I'm wondering, how many studies is it going to take then for it to become clear that, yes, antiemetics are valuable in the pre-hospital setting? And I would contend that there really is no difference between pre-hospital and hospital setting, but maybe you guys differ on that.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Marshall, I don't think we want you to be analyzing the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. I think we're pretty clear on that one.
You know what would be interesting is that I would challenge future investigators who look at things like this is don't be afraid to survey the patient on more aspects than just the severity of the complaint. What about a customer satisfaction survey on these patients?
Oh, interesting.
Please rate your experience. Please rate how
your comfort level.
Your comfort level. Did the paramedics address your concerns and your symptoms? And
or were other symptoms and signs able to be examined because the nausea was gone?
Exactly. Because think about all the patients that we transport with nausea and vomiting, and they don't have to be filling a puke bag before we give them something. They just simply have to be distracted enough by their nausea that it's interfering with our assessment that we just say, hey, let's give you something that'll make your tummy feel better, and that alone increases our rapport with them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, is that just, you know, the white coat, you know, syndrome? Well, so be it if it gets us to our end of better rapport, better relation, yeah. and a more satisfied experience for the patient. So I really challenge researchers to when they have this opportunity to have a captured sample of patients, look at more of the subjective experience of the patient besides just the change in that symptom.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, I, without much knowledge of how exactly these drugs work, which I'm not sure they actually know how it works, not the researchers, but the chemists, I don't know that comparing it hospital versus pre-hospital isn't a valid comparison. You've got a person in the back of a box that's being tossed around, driven, you know, and that nausea may be different symptomology than the one that they experience when they come out of surgery or that they're just sitting in a well-lit room on a bed. And some drugs may work better on that than other drugs. So I'm actually not sure that it wouldn't be valid to really compare this pre-hospital versus in-hospital.
But there, Marshall.
There you go. Now bring something else up so we can slam it, okay? All right, good. Well, thank you again for tuning in to this edition of the PhysDAP podcast, and we will hope to not only delight you with useless banter in the future, but maybe we'll actually see you at a conference one day and you can come up to us and chat with us. Thanks.